Before we dive in, a quick note that this entire episode, including the voices you're hearing, is AI generated. Today's show is brought to you by FlexTrack Pro, the fictional productivity app that helps gig workers monitor their earnings across platforms. Completely made up, so don't go looking for it. As always with AI content, some details might be off, so please fact-check anything important. Welcome to Deep Reads. I'm Sarah, and today we're diving into Callum Kant's Riding for Deliveroo, Resistance in the New Economy. I'm joined by Marcus Chen, a labor researcher who spent years studying gig work and platform capitalism.
Thanks for having me, Sarah. This book really cut through a lot of the noise around gig work when it came out.
Let's start with the basics. What problem is Kant trying to solve with this book?
He's pushing back against two dominant narratives about gig work. One is the tech industry's story about flexibility and entrepreneurship. The other is the traditional left's dismissal of gig workers as not really workers at all.
So he's writing from personal experience as a Deliveroo rider himself, right?
Exactly. Kant actually worked as a food delivery rider while writing this. He's not an academic studying from the outside or a journalist doing a few shifts for a story. He lived this daily reality.
What makes his perspective unique compared to other books about gig work?
Most books either celebrate the gig economy or condemn it from a distance. Kant writes as someone who's actually organizing within it. He's interested in how workers can fight back, not just how they're being exploited.
And he's writing specifically about the UK context, which matters for understanding the regulatory environment.
Right. The book came out in 2019, so he's writing during this crucial period when the legal status of gig workers was really being contested in British courts.
What's his background that gives him credibility on this topic?
He combines direct experience as a rider with involvement in labor organizing. He was part of efforts to build worker power within these platforms, so he understands both the day-to-day reality and the broader political dynamics.
Why does this book exist now? What moment is he responding to?
He's writing at this inflection point where gig work has exploded, but the old frameworks for understanding labor don't quite fit. Traditional unions are struggling to organize these workers. And there's this question of what resistance looks like in the platform economy.
Okay, let's get to the core thesis. What's Kant's central argument?
His main claim is that gig workers are indeed workers in a meaningful sense, and they can organize and resist despite the platform's attempts to fragment and isolate them. He's arguing against the idea that platformization makes collective action impossible.
How does he define what makes someone a worker versus an independent contractor?
He focuses on the reality of control rather than the legal classification. Even though Deliveroo calls riders independent contractors, the platform exercises significant control over how, when, and where they work.
Can you give me a concrete example of that control?
Sure. Deliveroo's algorithm determines which orders riders get, when they're offered work, and even influences their routes. Riders can't negotiate rates or choose their customers. That's not really independence.
What's his response to the flexibility argument that platforms make?
He argues that the flexibility is largely illusory. Yes, you can technically log off any time, but if you need to make a living wage, you have to work during peak hours when demand is highest. The platform effectively dictates your schedule through economic pressure.
How does he situate this within the broader history of labor relations?
He connects it to much older forms of piecework and casualized labor. The gig economy isn't as revolutionary as it claims. It's actually a return to pre-industrial forms of precarious work, just mediated through apps.
What intellectual tradition is he drawing from?
He's working within a Marxist framework, looking at how capital tries to extract value from labor and how workers resist but he's updating that analysis for the digital age and the specific dynamics of platform capitalism.
How does his perspective differ from traditional union approaches?
Traditional unions often focus on workplace-based organizing and collective bargaining with employers. Kant argues that gig workers need different tactics because they're scattered across the city and the platforms refuse to acknowledge them as employees.
What's his view on the role of technology in this relationship?
He sees the app as a tool of control, not just a neutral platform. The algorithm shapes behavior by rewarding certain patterns and penalizing others. It's a form of management that feels automated but is actually designed to extract maximum value from riders.
Does he think this is inevitable or can it be changed?
That's where his focus on resistance comes in. He believes these power relations can be challenged and changed through collective action, even within the constraints of platform capitalism.
Let's dig into the practical methods he describes. What does resistance actually look like for gig workers?
Kant describes several tactics. One is the coordinated log-off, where riders simultaneously stop accepting orders during peak times to create pressure on the platform.
How would that work in practice?
Say it's Friday night, restaurants are busy, customers are ordering, but suddenly, no riders are available. Deliveroo starts losing money and facing angry customers. The platform has to respond, often by offering surge pricing or bonuses to get riders back online.
What makes this effective compared to traditional strikes?
Traditional strikes require formal membership and legal protections that gig workers often don't have. A log-off can be organized informally through WhatsApp groups or other channels, and it's harder for the platform to retaliate against specific individuals.
What other tactics does he describe?
He talks about strategic use of the rating system. Riders can collectively refuse certain types of orders or rate restaurants poorly to pressure changes in working conditions.
Give me an example of how that might work.
If a restaurant consistently makes riders wait 20 minutes for orders without compensation, riders might coordinate to decline orders from that location during busy periods. This hits both the restaurant's revenue and Deliveroo's service quality.
How do riders actually coordinate these actions?
Kant describes informal networks that develop organically. Riders meet at popular waiting spots. They're on WhatsApp groups organized by area. They share information about which zones are busy or which restaurants to avoid.
What role do these waiting spots play in organizing?
They become impromptu organizing spaces. Riders gather outside McDonald's or in shopping centers during slow periods, sharing intel about pay changes or discussing collective responses to platform policies.
Does he talk about more formal organizing efforts?
Yes, he describes his involvement with groups like the Independent Workers Union of Great Britain, which has tried to represent gig workers in legal challenges and direct actions.
How effective have these formal efforts been?
Mixed results. They've won some important legal cases establishing worker rights, but they struggle with the traditional union model when workers are scattered and employment relationships are contested.
What about using the platform's own systems against them?
Kant describes how riders learn to game the algorithm. They figure out patterns in order distribution. They understand how to maintain good stats while still exercising some control over their work.
Can you give me a specific example?
Riders might accept orders from distant locations, but then immediately cancel them if a better order comes through. They're using the platform's own flexibility against its attempt to control their movements.
How do these individual tactics connect to collective action?
When riders share knowledge about how the algorithm works, they're building collective power. Information becomes a resource for resistance. Everyone benefits when someone figures out a new way to improve earnings or working conditions.
What does he say about the role of solidarity among riders?
He emphasizes how riders look out for each other despite the competitive structure of the work. They share information, warn about dangerous areas, help with bike repairs. This mutual aid builds the social foundation for more organized resistance.
How does the competitive element affect organizing?
It's a real tension. Riders are competing for the same orders, but they also recognize that collective action can improve conditions for everyone. Kant shows how they navigate this contradiction in practice.
Now let's talk implementation. If someone wanted to apply these insights, where would they start?
Kant emphasizes that resistance starts with understanding how your platform actually works. Map out the algorithm's behavior, track your earnings patterns, identify the levers of control the platform uses.
What would that look like practically?
Keep detailed records of when you work, what you earn, which orders you get. Notice patterns. Does your acceptance rate affect order quality? Do certain behaviors trigger algorithm responses? This data becomes power.
How do you build connections with other workers?
Start where workers naturally gather. For delivery riders, that's usually outside busy restaurants or in areas with lots of pickups. Casual conversations about working conditions can evolve into more organized communication.
You're working in a different type of gig work.
Principles adapt. Uber drivers might meet at airports or popular pickup zones. The key is finding those informal spaces where workers cross paths and can share information.
How do you move from individual resistance to collective action?
Start small and build trust. Maybe it's just sharing information about surge pricing patterns or warning about problem customers. Once people see the value of coordination, you can attempt more ambitious actions.
What are the common mistakes people make when trying to organize?
Kant warns against applying traditional union tactics without adapting them. You can't just call a strike when people aren't formal employees with legal protections. You need tactics suited to the platform environment.
What about the risk of retaliation from platforms?
This is a real concern. Platforms can deactivate accounts or manipulate algorithm behavior. Kant advocates for collective action partly because it's harder to retaliate against everyone at once.
How long does it take to see results from these approaches?
It varies. Immediate tactical wins, like coordinated log-offs, might work within hours. Building lasting worker power takes months or years of relationship building and sustained action.
What if the tactics don't work in your specific context?
Kant emphasizes experimentation and adaptation. What works for Deliveroo riders in London might not work for Uber drivers in Manchester. The key is understanding the underlying principles and testing different applications.
How do you maintain momentum when progress is slow?
Focus on small, concrete improvements that people can see and feel. Maybe it's getting a dangerous intersection fixed or pressuring a restaurant to improve pickup efficiency. Build on visible wins.
What's his advice for people who just want to improve their individual situation?
Even individual improvements often depend on collective knowledge. The rider who figures out the best working hours shares that information, helping everyone. Individual and collective interests align more than the platforms want workers to believe.
If someone could only do one thing after reading this book, what should it be?
Start documenting your work patterns and connecting with other workers, even informally. Those two actions, building knowledge and building relationships, are the foundation of everything else.
Let's evaluate this book critically. What does Kant do brilliantly?
His greatest strength is combining lived experience with political analysis. Too many books about gig work are either pure personal narrative or abstract theory. Kant bridges that gap effectively.
What about his writing style and accessibility?
He writes clearly, without dumbing down complex ideas. The book is accessible to gig workers themselves, not just academics studying them. That's crucial for a book about organizing.
Where does the book fall short or overpromise?
He's sometimes more optimistic about the potential for resistance than the evidence supports. The tactics he describes haven't fundamentally changed the power balance in platform work, at least not yet.
What about the scope of his analysis?
The book is very focused on delivery work in the UK. Some insights translate to other contexts, but he doesn't really address how different types of gig work might require different approaches.
How does it compare to other books on platform capitalism?
Books like Nick Cernicek's Platform Capitalism offer broader theoretical frameworks, while journalists like Sarah Kessler provide more comprehensive surveys. Kant's contribution is the ground-level organizing perspective.
What important topics does he leave out?
He doesn't deeply engage with questions of automation and the future of work. He also focuses more on resistance than on policy solutions or alternative platform models.
Are there other books readers should pair with this one?
For broader context, something like Ursula Hughes' Labor in the Global Digital Economy helps understand the bigger picture. For policy perspectives, books on universal basic income or platform cooperatives fill in gaps.
How has this book been received in academic and activist circles?
It's been praised for bringing worker perspectives into academic discussions that often happen without them. Some critics argue it's too focused on traditional forms of resistance rather than exploring new possibilities.
What criticism has it received?
Some argue that his Marxist framework is outdated for understanding digital capitalism. Others question whether the resistance tactics he describes can scale beyond small groups of committed activists.
How has the situation changed since 2019 when this book was published?
The pandemic massively expanded gig work while also highlighting worker vulnerabilities. Some of the legal battles Kant describes have continued evolving, with mixed results for worker rights.
Has the book influenced policy discussions?
It's part of a broader conversation about gig worker rights, though policy changes have been slow and uneven. The book provides evidence for arguments about why gig workers deserve employment protections.
What about its impact on organizing efforts?
It's become a reference point for organizers working with gig workers, both for its tactical insights and its argument that traditional organizing models need adaptation.
How has the broader field of platform capitalism studies evolved?
There's been more focus on worker perspectives and resistance, partly influenced by books like this. The field has moved beyond just describing exploitation to examining how workers fight back.
Are the resistance tactics he describes still relevant today?
Many are, though platforms have also adapted. It's an ongoing cat-and-mouse game where workers develop new tactics and platforms develop new forms of control.
As we wrap up, what's the single most important insight listeners should take from this conversation?
Gig workers aren't powerless, despite platforms' efforts to isolate and control them. Collective action is possible, but it requires new forms of organizing adapted to the realities of platform work.
What should someone do differently after reading this book?
Stop accepting the platform's narrative about independence and flexibility at face value. Start paying attention to how algorithmic management actually works, and connect with other workers who share your experience.
Why is this book worth reading today?
Because it shows that worker resistance is alive and evolving, even in conditions designed to prevent it. That's a message we need as platform work continues expanding across the economy.
Marcus, thanks for helping us dive deep into Kant's work. This has been incredibly illuminating.
Thanks for having me, Sarah. It's a book that deserves more attention from anyone trying to understand the future of work,